Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in publishing, community activism, and politics. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to help you find the steps to wealth. A wealthy mind starts with a healthy mind. And you know, all this year, as my planner states, we are thinking positive. So tonight, we're going to have with us Shawn Strickland, and she's going to give us the steps to wealth, a healthy mindset for a wealthy mind. But before I begin the interview, I also want to discuss some things that will be going on this year. Of course, many of you all who follow me know that I have my wonderful event, Lights, Camera, Action, that will be held August the 24th through the 25th at RDU Marriott. We have an awesome, awesome lineup: Beverly Jenkins, Iris Bowling, Deborah Mello, Sean Ferrison, Norwood Holland, Sienna Mix, Cheryl Bryant. We also have two confirmed literary agents that are going to help you pitch yourself to publishers, and one is also an editorial agent. So we have a lot going on. We have our infamous Girls Night Out, live music, painting, games, you name it, we're going to claim it. Saturday, we have our workshop. We also have our tea party, our mail auction, and our pajama party with bedtime stories. So there's a lot for everyone. So, you know, you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Read You Later, at LaShira on Facebook, LaShira Lee, so you can purchase your tickets or Read You Later biz. Also, I want to give a shout-out. I know that some people plan on traveling to Richmond weekend of the 7th through 9th to be extras on the Deadly Sexy Project. If you are planning to come, please contact me or contact Iris Bowling through the Palace if you're a fan of hers, or email Siri Austin Productions for more information. We want to make sure that we have your face in the place. I know a lot of you are Beverly Jenkins fans, and we want to make sure things are going on and we do all things decent and appropriate. Also, if you've been following me on Facebook, you know that I'm very adamant about STEM and educational appropriation and the disappropriation that has been occurring in our underserved communities and communities of color. So I have galvanized forces with the awesome, awesome publishing company and First Lady, Norma Laufen, and she has invited me to host a STEM camp in Fayetteville, Virginia. We have awesome Lori Hargrove and Vanessa Riley who are volunteering their service, and we're going to have coding. We're also going to have robotics. And, ladies and gentlemen, something new to me, but we also will be introducing our young people of color to water resource engineering. Stay tuned. The cost will be, when I say it's basically almost free, and we actually struggle with should we charge something, but we want people, children and adults, to take some ownership. But what I tell you, you will get 2 days of fabulous, your babies will, fabulous stimulating STEM activities that we hope to birth our next engineers, our next doctors, our next electrical engineering. So we have a lot going on. I just want you to stay tuned, hold on to your seats, because I will be giving you more information in upcoming weeks about more casting. Yes, we're going to have another production after this, ladies and gentlemen. More casting, more events, and also something for kids. We want to be a well-rounded community. In doing so, we have to bring up the next generation. You know, I always tell you, we're more about books. We're about people. So stay tuned. I know if you follow me on Facebook, you've seen my article. So stay tuned, and we are going to rock this nation. But that being said, let's get back to our new guest. She is a newbie to Read You Later. And just reading her bio, this woman is a powerhouse. She's a life coach, and she's going to coach you to new mindset, to new healthy strategies, so you can get what you need. So I would like to welcome to Read You Later, Sean Strickland. Welcome to Read You Later.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we are excited to have you because we know that a healthy mind is a wealthy mind. And the first thing you need to do is start with a new mindset. So I know that your books are powerful. Live Free, Arise and Shine, Discovering the 8 Steps to Creating Freedom in Every Area of Your Life. Because, honey, we know that bondage is real, and we want to be free. So tell us, what began your journey on this life learned lesson?
Oh, it's just such an amazing story of how things just worked out. Something that seems random is actually something that's really intentional. I have 5 kids, and my oldest daughter, who's now 23, was playing basketball in the 8th grade, and she was really, really good, but she had a coach who wasn't a really good coach. He wasn't really positive and stuff, and so her mindset was really suffering. And so I really started researching, like, how women could, like, overcome and have a positive mindset in the middle of adversity, which, long story short, led me to get a master's in sports psychology and then led me to get a life coaching certification. And as I was in every one of those classes, I would just think, oh, my goodness, if women knew this, if Christian women knew this, if my grandmother had known this, what a difference she could have made in her life. And so really it just started out of something that seemed almost coincidental and accidental and then ended up with me coaching and writing books really with the goal to help women specifically, not just women, but women specifically shift their mindset.
Now, we know what the Bible speaks about mind and what we speak of our lives. How do you apply the biblical principles to your teaching and coaching?
Well, my favorite scripture is Romans 12:2. That says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God for your life. And what I found is that you can't change your life unless you change your thinking. And so to me, that scripture is just such a call to personal development. And so many times we, like, try to change our life by getting a new job or a new relationship or, you know, a new hairstyle. But everywhere we go, there we are. So for me, I believe that God really calls us to look at our thinking, to see the ways that our thinking is holding us back, and then to be intentional about working to shift our thinking.
Amen. Now, you state that empowerment begins with knowledge. What do you feel should be the base knowledge for women in this day and time?
I think the base knowledge has to be that we have the power to rescue ourselves. Because I think that when we stop looking for a hero, you know, that God has already empowered us to win, right? And while it's great to have a husband,
right,
been married 23 years, it's great to have friends and family, it's great to have a mom, but at the end of the day, I have the power to change my life. And if I don't use my power, it doesn't matter who cheers for me, who runs with me, I'm going to stay stuck. So to me, the base knowledge would be understanding that we individually have the power to change our lives.
And, you know, that is wonderful because a lot of times we as women, especially African-American women, due to various cultures and and geographically where we live, sometimes we are deemed as powerful, and we generally run a lot of organizations, especially a lot of organizations in church and organizations in our community. But a lot of times we look for outside sources for that source of power, for that source of empowerment, if you will. So what you're saying, we need to kind of take back the power and use what we have, what God has placed in us in order to move and change our mindset. Is that not right?
Absolutely, because I think that one of the challenges, particularly for African-American women, is that we give our strength to everybody else. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't help other people. Man, like, this is my passion. I'm not saying we shouldn't help other people, but what I tell my clients all the time is that you're not obligated to set yourself on fire to keep other people warm. And I just think
you
that,
say that.
But I think that that's a huge, culturally, that's what we've been taught. That's what we watch Big Mama do, Grandmama, Auntie,
yes.
right? What we watched our
yes.
mamas do.
Correct.
And so then
Correct.
We actually even feel guilty when we go, no, I'm going to take my power back. And I am going to, I don't mind helping you out of my overflow, but I'm not going to help you out of my empty and end up with nothing emotionally, nothing financially, and end up sick and bitter and upset. I'm going to learn how to say no and do what's best for me.
Now, you know what? And you spoke to me, I'll say like 6 months ago, I made a big, big, big decision. And I moved geographically and I moved job-wise, but I also moved mind-wise. At the time, people couldn't understand it. And I would go into work, and I knew 2 weeks into the school year, oh, this one for me. And I went in and said, oh, God, I got a table for me. All I got to do is sit down. People were like looking at me like, what? And then some people understood what I was saying. Some people understood what I was saying, but they were like, well, I don't see how this is going to happen. And I said, all I got to do is sit. All I got to do is sit. And like, yeah, we got a table. I got to find out where to sit. So we were going to meetings. They were like, oh, we got to do this. And, you know, 6 months time. I said, oh, well, why really doesn't pertain to me? Because God has a new place for me. All I have to do is sit. And so when I moved and things transpired, and they went quickly, you know, God is a God of, you know, he doesn't see numbers, and he doesn't see what happened to such and such, and he doesn't see, well, this happened to this, or this shouldn't happen, because he's a God. He's a God of grace and favor, so things move very quickly. So people started saying when I left, God got a table for me too. I said, honey, you ain't saying that with any conviction. And you know, and when I moved, I had to fight it because I felt it was selfish on my behalf, because there were people that were dependent on me that I felt that were dependent on me, and me moving would cause some kind of discord with them, being that they had to step up. And then I realized that that's the thing you need to do is step up. So, and I was sacrificing my peace for other people who still at the end of the day were going on about their business. So that was freeing, but within that, I must say, I felt selfish. And I think that's a lot of what African-American women feel in period, because we feel selfish when we're doing things for our own sanity and our own peace and our own livelihood, because we feel, oh, well, what about such and such? And I had so many people not meaning harm say, well, what about them? And what about this? And what about that? And they, da, 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 and they. And for a minute, girl, listen to that stuff. And then I said, you better get yourself free. God, I had to shake that stuff off, honey, like a bad habit. I was like, girl, you better get yourself free. And I felt like a weight had been lifted off of me.
No, I love what you're saying, because I think it goes exactly to the mindset shift that I'm constantly talking about, which is that, you know, it really shows up in our money, right? Because when we feel obligated, people will be obligated to a job. We won't take a better job even though we need a raise. We're giving away our rent money when we don't have any retirement. Because really we have this programming that literally says to us, if I am not depleted, okay, then I am being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually not true. One of my other favorite scriptures is where the man asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is equal to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so whenever I'm in a room of women, I say, I want to remind you that he said as yourself, not instead of yourself. That God did never ask you to love other people and not love you. So if it's okay for someone else to have retirement, it's okay for you. If it's okay for someone else to take a job that's best for them, it's okay for you. And I really think that we have to learn, one, to own our own power, and then to begin to free each other. So that means that when I see a sister who's making a move that I don't necessarily understand, that I don't try to guilt her into staying back because I don't understand it. That I bless her, I release her, I say, girl, I'm cheering for you. Go get what it is that you need. And we really have the power to break that whole concept about being selfish, because that's not selfish. Self-care isn't selfish.
Exactly. Yes, self-care. So, and I think we, especially as African women, we have been so guilty of not being advocates for our own self-care. And a lot of people feel that that's health, but it's a mental health. It's that mindset health. And what you talk about in your books, let's talk about live free. What is the purpose of living free?
Oh, well, the purpose of living free is fundamentally that's how God called you to live. God wants you to be free. And, you know, especially if you're a believer, we go to church and we shout and we talk about how good God is and we talk about the sacrifice that Jesus made. Well, he died to free us. He got up to free us. So why should Jesus have done all that and then for us to live in bondage, financial bondage, mental bondage, relationship bondage? Why should we accept bondage when he's given us freedom? And so to me, as a believer, you know, the way that I honor God is to refuse to stay bound.
And how can that transfer to a healthy mind and wealth management? What is the connection?
So I think the connection is this, is that when I begin to realize that God wants me free, then I stop allowing myself to be guilted and manipulated into spending my money places that it doesn't serve me. So that doesn't mean I'm not a giver. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to help people. But it does mean that I'm going to free myself. I mean, pretty much in any African-American family that you can pick across the nation, there is some black woman who has gone to college or put herself in a better financial situation and other people in the family haven't. And then what they do is they go, oh, girl, you got it. And then she feels guilty because she got to go to college and they didn't go to college. And then she ends up putting herself in this bad situation financially, spending money that she doesn't have, rescuing people that she's not called to rescue, playing God. And then she gets to be 70, and then she doesn't even have retirement. And now she's not free to enjoy those years of her life, because she had a wrong mindset about what she owed people to begin with.
Ooh. All right, man. You're hitting home. You're hitting home for a lot of us, because I do feel that a lot of us feel, especially, and you know how to think about what you're saying, because everyone's getting, like, the opportunity, even though some people will tell you, no, I wouldn't get the same opportunity. They're like, woe is me. But my grandma always had a saying, baby, the sun has to shine sometime, meaning that you can't have this sad story every time. God has blessed you, and he's giving you resources. Sometimes we don't realize the resources we have because we're so busy in our pity party. But you are telling the truth about that health and that wealth and that mindset. So how can we as women set ourselves free? What are some strategies that perhaps you can give us to set our mind free so we can get into that wealthy place?
So I think one of it is what we begin to say to ourselves, that we need to begin to say that, like, this is really important to me for black women, that we need to say that more than I deserve a Michael Kors bag, more than I deserve dinner out, I deserve a savings account. More than I need to rescue everybody else, I need to make sure that I'm okay. And so I begin to say that, so then it begins to change how I spend my money. And so then I find out that maybe I thought I didn't have any money to save. I worked with a client last year who thought she didn't have any money to save, right? And when she went back and looked at all of the ways that she was blowing her money and guilt-giving, she saved $10,000 in a year. $10,000 a year when she thought she didn't have any money, because she had to shift her mindset and say, you know what, I have a right to know that if something goes wrong, if my washer breaks down, I'm not going to be stressed out trying to figure out how to pay for it. I can just afford to buy another one. That's a big paradigm shift. The words sound easy. It sounds easy, but we have been so culturally programmed to do everything for everybody that literally just learning to say no to someone else and yes to you yourself is probably one of the first steps you can take.
Yes.
And you are so right, and not
feel guilty about it, and not feel guilty. I think that's what it does, is not feel guilty about it. You know, feeling like that we have to rescue. I'm talking about myself here. Feel like you don't have to rescue everyone, and feel like that you're not the responsible party because you quote-unquote made it out. I think that's a biggie, really is a biggie for us.
You know, one of the things I tell people is this, it's a story. You're an educator, so you may know this story. It's a story that I think that every black woman should go to Barnes & Noble, go to Amazon and get the copy of the book. And it's The Little Red Hen. And in The Little Red Hen, do you remember that story? She was like, hey, we need to plant it, right? And they was like, we don't have time to plant it. She was like, it's time to harvest it. They was like, we don't have time to harvest it. She was like, we need to grind it. They was like, we don't have time. And when it was time for her to eat, she cooked one meal and one plate. And when they showed up, she said, you know what? You didn't have time to plant. You didn't have time to water. You didn't have time to harvest or grind. You don't have time to eat. And so I think that we need to begin to get in healthy relationships where it says, here's the thing, if I am willing to give you my last $100, are you willing to give me your last $100? Because if you don't, you don't have a healthy relationship. So why am I still constantly putting myself out when you wouldn't put yourself out for me? And I know that sometimes for us it sounds selfish, right? It sounds, but it's not. It's self-care. It's self-care.
And you know,
a lot of times,
a lot of times with people that you help, I had a pastor once, and he said, a lot of times we're like the catalyst in a sense for these unhealthy relationships because we kind of give, and we don't give these people time enough to grow up and learn themselves, and then they end up resenting you, even though you're assisting them. They end up resenting you because they feel you're putting them in a place where I have to do this, or I can't do this because I know this person will bail me out, and they become resentful of you because they feel, in a sense, that you're better than them, that you feel you're better than them, even though you're helping them out. So it's a real complex issue. And I said to myself, oh, my Lord, he's telling the truth. So, honey, look, let me free myself from this bondage. And that is the first step of a healthy mind. Well, I know our time is nearing, and I have really enjoyed this conversation. So can you share with my audience the titles of your books and how and where they can be purchased?
So I have two books. One is called Live Free, The 8 Steps to Living Free in Any Area, and the other one is Arise and Shine, The Black Women's Guide to a Wealthy Mindset. And you can find them at www.blackwomenbuildwealth.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook at Black Women Build Wealth. And then also you can find me at Sean Strickland on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. And I really appreciate the opportunity to come and share, and I hope that something encouraged your listeners, and I hope to hear some testimonies about how people get. I'm glad to hear
you. You encouraged me. Honey, look, it's just confirmation because, you know, sometimes you can't do the devil will game like, well, you know, you should be doing this and you could have done this for such and such, but you just giving me confirmation. And I appreciate this because sometimes we do need that that kind nudge, and sometimes we need somebody to smack our hand. So you just smacked my hand, but I appreciate this smack today.
Well, I'm glad. I look forward to hearing your testimony about how your finances changed.
All right, and we look forward to seeing you and hearing your growth. And can you share with us any other podcast or any other physical appearings that you will have that we can support and share?
I think you're on the East Coast. Actually, this weekend I'm going to be in Richmond, Virginia at Speaking Spirits Ministry for a women's conference.
I wish I had known. You're not too far. Well, you're about 3 hours from me. If I had known, I would have rearranged my schedule.
Oh, well, I come to the East Coast a lot, so maybe next time we can connect, have coffee or something.
Yes, ma'am. I would love that. I would love that. Bring my book club and some other book clubs and come out and support.
Oh, yeah.
Well, from our house to yours, we appreciate you and what you're doing in the kingdom and how you are freeing minds for a healthy and wealthy mindset. And from my house to yours, I want you to remember whatever is going through, whatever is going on in the news, just know that God is in control and don't let what's going on control how you react. Stay in character and stay blessed. And from my shelf to yours, read you later. Have a wonderful night. Good night.
Good night.